Green Scene on the Pat Kenny Show with Repack, supporting the circular economy and reducing the impact of packaging on the environment.
Now, a treat every Wednesday on the PK Show is Ruth Freeman comes in, Director of Research for the Society at Research Ireland, and she comes up with startling scientific processes that are happening that could impact on our lives down the road. You're most welcome, Ruth. Let's start with this Atlantic Meridional overturning circulation. It's something like the Gulf Stream, is it?
Well, the Gulf Stream is part of it, and lots of us have heard of the Gulf Stream because we know if we look at our latitude and we look at sort of Canada and Siberia at similar latitudes, but we have totally different climates. In fact, Europe is much warmer. And most of us learnt in school that this was because of the Gulf Stream, which is essentially warm water coming up from the tropics in a current in the Atlantic, which keeps Europe with the lovely temperate and warm climate that we have that's suitable for agriculture and all of those things. But in recent years, scientists have noticed over about the last 50 years that the speed of this current seems to be slowing down. So what's happening is the Gulf Stream is sort of like the top layer, and it's the warm water travelling north. But when it gets up to the Arctic, what happens is when it gets colder up there, it also, because of evaporation, it gets more salty, so it gets denser, so it sinks down around Greenland. And that's actually what causes the pull to keep the current going. But with Arctic ice melting, there's less salt in that water. There's kind of a layer of fresh water now sitting in the North Atlantic. And of course, the temperatures are changing. So that's why this current is slowing down. So there's a real concern that if it stopped entirely, it could completely change certainly the climate of Europe, but potentially the climate of the whole world in the next 100 years. So it's a big concern.
But is this like... I am confused because I kind of got the climate science, which said by 2060, 2070, a third or 40% of the world will be like the Sahara Desert. And I've listened to climatologists from Metairn who say in Ireland, rainfall over the last 20 years is up 7%.
Yep.
So wetter and warmer. Yep. Now you're saying it's getting colder.
Well, this could be a shock event as opposed to sort of the general trend. And that's the reality with climate science. It's incredibly complex. But what we are seeing with warming is massive change. And I suppose scientists now have come up with an idea. The reason why this is sort of back in the news, this story about this Atlantic current, which is called the AMOC for short, is a professor in the University of Edinburgh has put forward this idea that we could create large undersea parachutes, essentially. So these parachutes would be about half the size of a football pitch, and they'd be attached to a tugboat, and they would be underwater. They'd have a big hole in the middle.
You're losing the plot now
completely. Well,
these parachutes to pull the water back.
To pull the water back.
The cold water back.
To pull the warm, which keep the warm water being pulled north so it could then sink down again. And it might sound fanciful.
It does. But like these big tugboats pulling this parachutes of water back to the Arctic.
The researchers have only done modelling, but they've worked out that only maybe 35 or 50 boats working all year round could potentially have some impact on this current. Now, they, like everybody else, are saying this is not the solution here. The solution here is that we need to stop the ice melting and the overall warming trend. But I suppose scientists are now coming up with what I might call a Hail Mary pass here. They are thinking about what we call geoengineering. Can we come up with big projects to stop what's happening in climate change? A lot of people would say that's not what we should be focused on.
So it's adoption of new measures in facing the reality rather than preventing it.
Well, okay. It's trying to slow it down, buying us some time.
Removing mercury from seafood. I didn't know it was in it. Tell us what's the problem.
Well, mercury is in our seafood because what happens is we've tripled the amount of mercury in our water and in our seas over the last sort of 50 to 100 years. And the problem is that mercury gets eaten up but absorbs by plankton and then little fish and then bigger fish. And what happens is when we eat older, bigger fish, which we tend to do when we eat things like tuna or swordfish, we are now absorbing mercury into our own bodies. And that has health issues for us. It impacts on developing brains and fetuses, but may also impact on our cardiovascular health. So a lot of agencies around the world have set limits on the amount of fish we should eat. So in Europe, for example...
Because I love tuna. Well, are you saying that I could get mercury poisoning from tuna?
Well, you could really. You should only really eat about 200 grams or 300 grams a week. Pregnant women are advised to only eat two cans maximum. But this is really clever research from Texas. So what the researchers did is they took a bacteria that would normally be in our gut and they engineered it with genes from a soil bacteria. And these genes break down mercury into something that can be excreted from the body.
Okay.
Now, they've only tested it in mice, but what they found was when they fed the mice a diet very rich in fish containing mercury, this bacteria broke the mercury down into a form that could just
be
excreted.
But how do you get the mercury? How do you get the bacteria into the mice?
So you just feed it to them, or you can give them. I mean, it sounds a bit gross, but you can actually do a fecal transplant. So you actually take
losing the plot today completely.
Well, this is amazing because there are some cultures where there's an awful lot of fish eaten, and a simple idea like this, it means that people could still eat the fish and get the benefits.
I get that the bacteria can solve the mercury problem. My point is, how do you get the bacteria into the food chain?
You just eat it. I mean, you can do
like a probiotic yogurt or something like that.
Yeah, you could just eat it. And if you're eating it alongside the fish, you're potentially limiting the damage and still getting the benefit. And I suppose this is a really interesting area because we're also eating things like plastic all the time now. So maybe there's a whole area of probiotics that we can adapt our gut microbiome to help us deal with these things that unfortunately we're putting into the environment and then they're getting into us.
I'm coming to the conclusion, be careful what you find out from Ruth Freeman. Thank you, as always, fascinating scientific in data coming our way that will shape our future. Ruth Freeman, as always,